about a sweet, sweet spirit of peace. The peace that goes beyond understanding. It reaches to the deepest depths of our souls, gives us strength for the day and in the battle, and for tomorrow, helps us to rejoice in the joy that is always there in Christ Jesus. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise you. The world is in need of great peace. The world is in need of our Heavenly Father. The world is in need of Jesus. The world is in need, great need, for the Word of God. The world is in need to know that hope that they do not always have unless they know Jesus. This hope that is eternal in Christ Jesus. Today, I want to share with you the title of the message. And no, I don't have a PowerPoint. So if you were hoping for one, I apologize. I'll keep working on that. The title of the message today is Peace and Grace. I'd have to say that throughout this week and days before this, and I had another sermon that I had been working on, but no, that just wasn't quite it. And as I wrestled with the sermon for today, I became very, very sick physically with this old battle I have that's this thorn in my flesh called Crohn's disease. And in the battle, I prayed to the Lord as we do. He's always there. And so He's helped me to be before you today, prepared. And He has set this in order, just so. Because Lisa doesn't have it in her own self. I just don't have it. I just don't have it, right? It is by His power and His work that we have the gifting of the Holy Spirit working through us. And I am a living testimony of that right here today. I thank God that He allowed me to have strength for the day and for yesterday and the day before that. So my battle with this thing started Thursday and ended this morning, sometime in the night, for the most part. And God has just blessed my soul ever through it all. So if you feel worried, do not feel worried for me. If you feel concerned about it, yes, be concerned, pray for me. But know this and trust God, that He is glorified, period. That He has all the glory and the honor. The world is a troubled place. I read an article, and I'm going to read portions of this to you. And this is an article that comes from a Gallup poll. And it was written in 2022. It says, "Who feels personal peace on earth?" It's by Christian Archer. It says, in it, how often do people worldwide feel at peace? So that's what they were looking at. It says in 2024, as a part of the Well-Being for the Planet Earth Foundation and Gallup Initiative to develop more holistic understanding of the well-being, a Gallup asked adults in 122 countries how often they feel at peace with their thoughts and their feelings. As might be expected, the study found people answered, their answers varied around the world, but on an average, people were more likely to feel at peace always at 34%, or often at 39%, rather than rarely at 17% or never at 5%. So there's some sort of peace they're feeling. It doesn't say exactly altogether what that's caused from. It says key findings in this, the Latin American countries dominate the always at peace list. Worldwide, the percentage of people who say they always feel at peace with their thoughts and feelings, the highest bar none for these experiences range from the low of 11% in Zimbabwe to a high of 73% in Nicaragua. The list of the countries worldwide where the majority of people who say they always feel this way is dominated by countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. Only 5 out of the 14 countries where majorities always feel at peace are not in this region. So we're seeing, they're seeing this, they're curious about this. Then it says there's a plethora of Latin American countries that top the list. May not be entirely surprising to us, huh? Many of these same countries regularly rank among the most likely in the world to report experiencing positive emotions each day, such as feeling well-rested, smiling or laughing, learning something interesting, feeling treated with respect, and experiencing enjoyment. Latin America. I think of their music, you know, that you can't listen to Latin American music without laughing sometimes and just feeling something, you know. So compared with the counterparts in Latin America, people in countries in Northern America, including the U.S. at 28%, Canada at 26%, are significantly, hear this, significantly less likely to say they always feel at peace with their thoughts and feelings. We are a country filled with anxieties, aren't we? Worrisome things. Nordic countries are often at peace, but not always. Often feeling at peace with one's thoughts and feelings is more common around the world than always feeling this way. In 27 countries, the majority of people say they feel at peace with their thoughts and feelings regularly. Not always, regularly. Nordic countries and other high-income countries that usually top the list of the world's happiest countries based on their life evaluations also top the list of countries where the largest shares of the population are often at peace. This suggests that it's important to look at well-being in more ways than life evaluations alone, as it may not describe the full picture, and it surely doesn't, of a person's existence. Peace more exclusive in several parts of the globe. This part says, while much of the world feels at peace with their thoughts and feelings, this experience excludes many countries that span Africa, Asia, Europe, the Middle East, and Northern Africa. In Zimbabwe, for example, nearly 7 in 10 residents, 69% of the time, rarely or never feel at peace with their thoughts and feelings. They're tormented. Including a majority, 54%, who rarely feel this way. Minorities in Turkey and in Malawi also rarely or never feel this sense of peace. The implications this study brings up is this, and I find this very interesting. Peace can mean many things, whether it is calmness or tranquility within oneself or literally the absence of war. Definitions of peace typically fall into two main categories, whether they're on the inside, internal peace, or on the outside, that external peace. And then later on down in the article, it says, well, I'll read the next paragraph because it's needed. In recent years, inner peace has been attracting greater research. That's pretty interesting, huh? As reflected in the Global Well-Being Initiative survey, even so, given the scholarship on inner peace is only just starting to develop. Now, that's not true for Christians, is it now? There are many research questions and issues that need to be explored. For example, much still needs to be studied on the relationship between inner peace and outer peace, and how do they affect one another. And then this question is brought up. Can someone have consistent inner peace when surrounded by strife? Well, if you know God, you know the answer. Yes. But they don't know it yet, so they're going to continue to study. The world we live in does not have all the answers. Peace to the world is a thing that they grasp for at times, some people, but that they cannot gain. They struggle to gain. I forgot to dismiss Children's Church, didn't I? God bless you, children. So if you will, turn with me to John 16:33. Praise the Lord. John 16:33, the Word of God says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And Jesus is speaking here. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Some of us have faced a lot of stress in the week that we just went through. God can give us peace in the midst of it all. That peace that surpasses understanding. I had a personal experience this week with a man named Solomon. Roger and I both did. We don't usually go a certain way on a Sunday afternoon to go out for dinner, and we usually stay in. But this last Sunday, we went towards Central. On the way up the hill, passing the Walmart, I turned my head to the left, and on the other side of the road, I saw a man running. He really looked like he was running for his life. He was running, and for some reason, in those seconds, the beads of sweat on his brow and running down his face caught my attention. I said, Roger, we need to help him. That's not something we do just normally, pull over and pick people up. The risks are extremely high in our world today. I don't advise it. But as I said that to Roger, who didn't bat an eye, he said, okay, and turned around. We passed back by the man. I rolled my window down, and we was in Roger's truck. I said, do you need help? He said, yes. I said, do you need a ride? He said, yes. I said, wait right there. We'll turn around and come back. We did. We turned around, and we came back. We pulled up on this side, and he had crossed the road. I felt like he was an intelligent man. He crossed the road to get in on the safe side and to be able to do that. So he got in the seat behind me. My first thought was, oh, Lord, protect me. I don't know that man. But I felt a peace that surpasses understanding, and I knew that I was doing what God wanted me to do. We got up to the top of the hill. Where do you need to go? And in our discussion, some things I discovered. Well, he was a new resident of America. 2 days in America, from one of the places that we read about in this Gallup poll called Malawi, I believe. And it is a poor country in Africa, one of the least developed in the world. The people are warm and friendly and welcoming. It's bordered by Zambia and the United Republic of Tanzania and Mozambique. I was very interested when I was hearing, this was his first time. He speaks English. They speak English there. It was easy to understand him. And as we went, he was asking, is it safe? He was going to turn and go down another way. He had gone to another Walmart, walked got to another Walmart. They didn't have what he needed, so he walked all the way down to the one closer to our house. It had to be more than 10 miles from where he was going. He was new to the area, new to America, and out trying to get what he needed, and a little lost. He was a man in need. He didn't look like he had peace when he was running, that's for sure. And I believe he was afraid for his life. He was not sure, you know, that he was safe if he went this way or that way. In regions in Africa, there are places that are not safe. There's a higher alert where he's from. It's not the highest, or the second highest, but it's in the middle. Things are increasing in unrest in all kinds of areas in the world. This young man needed help. God met him at his need. A week before that, I'd been praying and asking God, help me to meet people where they're at need. And God answered my prayer, but God led me to pray it anyway. God is sovereign. And as we talked with this young man and we're driving to that next Walmart, because he said he'd be okay if he got dropped off there, it occurred to us he would still need to find a ride wherever he was going, and he was willing to let us take him on. We took him way on down the road into Clemson, dropped him off at a complex, and before we did, on the way, he said, I said to him, you know, God has met your need today. And he said, yes, I know, I'm a Christian. And I said, we are Christians too. And a little while later after talking, he said, where do you go to church? And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this one's going to be too far for him. And I said, we go to Easley Church Assembly of God here in Easley. And then we go on down the road, and it occurred to me, we can connect him with Chi Alpha. I said, there's a church at the campus, at the college, there's a place where you can go for help. There's the people who will support you and be there for you. And we can give you the information. Yes, please give me the information. I gave him the phone number for Chi Alpha so that he can contact them that I found online. And then I gave him our phone numbers, mine and Roger's, and said, if you need a friend in this area, need help, you can call us. This I'm not sharing with you to brag. This I'm telling you because I know that when he shut the door and he walked away from me and Roger, we began to weep. We felt the Spirit of the Lord. Something happened in the atmosphere of the world. Some kind of change that we don't understand that goes beyond what we can know, comprehend, or even think. God knows your need. He will meet you where you're at. He is always right on time. He never fails. God does not fail. He is faithful to his word, and he will do exactly what he says he will. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I began to study Paul's words and looking at Philippians as I searched for the message today throughout a while. And Philippians kept coming up. So I think that's coming up. But it wasn't quite it. And the Lord drew me to these words, which are in all of Paul's writings, in all of his letters. These words are found in the greeting. You know, they write a letter, they do this salutation, this greeting. They announce themselves, who they are, who they're from, God. And they say something to the people and who they're writing to. So what we see, and I'm going to read a few examples of these two words, which are grace, the title of the message, and peace, from a few of Paul's writings. Paul uses the words grace and peace on every letter he wrote, in the beginning of the letter. Examples are 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace, he writes. 2 Corinthians 1:1-2, Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who who are in the whole of Archaea. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:1-2, Paul wrote, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have Romans, which is the last example, but every letter says grace and peace. And when he wrote to Timothy, he added mercy in the middle. Romans 1:1-7, Paul says, writes this, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of the holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations, according to you who are called to belong to Christ Jesus, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That would be every one of us who accepts Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There's no big saint, little saint. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Now there's a reason why Paul didn't say peace and grace. I mean, he could have, couldn't he? No, because God was ordaining how he wrote it, right? God was breathing us through him. God wants us to know that to have peace, we have to have grace. We have to have a relationship with him, an experience with the eternal God. That thing that helps us goes way beyond anything in this world could ever offer. You may know that I'm a counselor on my side job. That doesn't compare to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't compare to God Almighty entering the life of a human being and changing their perspective and their trajectory in the future. God makes the difference. God meets the needs. We need God. Grace, according to Merriam-Webster, is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for the regeneration or sanctification, a virtue of coming from God, a virtue coming from God, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance, not something that we can do ourselves. Approval, it's also that, favor, mercy, pardon, privilege, and many more things. Grace, the grace of God, the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9. Chapter 2, verse 8-9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8-9 says, for by grace you've been saved. I mean, if we just sat in that just a minute. For by God's grace, his marvelous grace, we have been saved through faith. That faith is not through the power of our faith, but through the focus and the source of our faith, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is not on your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's some things I want you to know, three things. It's a free gift of God, this grace. There's three things I want you to tell other people. There's this gift of God. It's a gift of God, this grace. It is received through faith. And it's not a result of how good you are or how good you will ever be. There is not enough goodness in all the world. to even compare to the grace of God. Can't attain it like that. Matter of fact, if you're working really hard to be really good and you keep failing, which we do, and it's good to work to be good and do good things, but if that's our focus, as if we got to do that to gain some kind of merit from God or acceptance from God, we're going to find a whole lot of lack of peace. We're going to be without peace. We're going to be beating ourselves up. We're going to be struggling. We're going to be filled with anxiety because we can't get it right. But God can. And He is not saying that, yes, go out and do whatever. Do it wrong, it doesn't matter. It's saying we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. When we get something wrong, He is advocating for us, and we can go to Him. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Biblical examples of grace of God, we have many in the Bible. One of them that comes to mind is the adulterous woman. She was caught in the act. They were fixing to use her for some kind of example to stone her, and Jesus forgave her. You remember the story? Then there's the parable of the prodigal son, who had gone and just wasted it all, wasted every blessing his father gave him. I'm one of those people. I wasted God's blessing when I went and disobeyed my parents when I was in my teenage years for about a year and a half. I can't tell you how far sin will take you and keep you as long as it can. But its end is destruction and great sorrow and suffering throughout. But for the grace of God and His mercy, He allowed me to walk every step through it. If I had time, I could share it. It's hard. But God's grace is there. Another one, Peter. He was restored after betraying Jesus. He denied Jesus 3 times. And yet 3 times Jesus talked to him about what to do for him. He forgave him. He restored him. There was great grace. And then we have this Roman, this Pharisee, this man that Christians feared for their lives and had to hide in places to worship because he was seeking them out with an army to kill them. And he was killing them. Paul, named Saul. Saul found grace. Saul found grace. Now we're going to move to peace. You know, you can't have it. Like I said, you cannot have peace without God's grace. You may have more moments of calmness, moments of tranquility. You may be on the mountainside and just be sitting and just basking in that. And that helps. Those times of rest, certainly. But there's nothing like the peace of God. It's a supernatural peace. It goes beyond our comprehension. So beyond it. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." I feel the power of God. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I've got some people in the world who say they're Christians, and they are. I believe they are. There are many of them there who are Christians who are struggling with this lack of peace in here. But the Bible says that the peace of God can bring this. We just got to get closer to God. The answers are written. We need the Word of God. I'll show why in just a minute. So this peace of God, Merriam-Webster Dictionaries, I like to look up words, y'all. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says it's a state of tranquility or not the peace of God, but just the word. A state of tranquility or quiet, such as freedom from civil disturbance. a state of security or order within a community provided by the law or custom. It can mean freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. It means contentment. According to Merriam-Webster, the word peace means this. It means harmony in personal relations. Harmony. Oh, I like harmony, don't you, Jack? Sharon, it makes everything good in music. A state or a period of mutual concord between governments can be peace, that peace pacts that are made. And we've heard things on the news about all the stuff that's trying to go forward with bringing some peace to some wars. Oh, the world is full of unrest. A pact or agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war or in a state of enmity with each other. That's what peace means. But there's more. That peace that we can have with God, that we're no longer at odds with God. You see, if we reject him, then we're turning away from him. Even a Christian can reject God. Even a Christian can say no. Nehemiah was one of them, right? No, that was Jonah, sorry, in Nineveh. He rejected the will of God and ended up suffering for 3 days in the belly of a whale. We don't want to reject God. I hope you don't want to. His peace, the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, in his will, in Christ Jesus, in his care. Guards the hearts and minds. He protects us from what? From worry. Do you worry? Okay, if I had, don't raise your hand. If I had people to raise your hand if you worry, or if you feel anxiety, I believe all of us would. I will raise my hand in front of you and say there are times. One of those times was probably 1 o'clock in the morning this morning about this service. I had this, I was like, I wasn't settled. It just wasn't settling. All the stuff that I'd worked on, and I had been sick. I was like, I'm battling something. And well, I call it wrestling with a blessing. It's not fun. Like Jacob wrestling with the man, his hip getting out of line. And then I asked Roger to come. I said, Roger, poor Roger, up at 1, come pray for me. I prayed for myself. I was battling. He came. He laid his arm around my shoulder at the desk there, and he prayed. And in his prayer, God confirmed the message for today completely. And then from then on out, it was like putting butter on bread. It was like, I was like, no. But I have to experience things. We don't always make the right choice to pray, do we? But every time we do, God makes a way where we can't see the way. It might be there, but we can't see it. But God makes a way. Another example of this is, I believe it was Tuesday. I shared this with a couple of you. My husband had a deadline. We had been gone. He had a deadline to set these cabinets. We drove the truck to Arkansas and back, and he's backing that truck to the trailer somewhere along the line. He had stopped. He was going to go hook it up. He gets back in it. I don't know if he hooked it up or not, but when he got back in it, the truck is running. He shifts it to gear, and nothing happens. Deadline. I mean deadline. For Roger, a deadline is, it's such a deadline. I mean, if you knew Roger, you would know. This is very true of him. He considers the cars behind him, probably 2 cars back, before he puts on his brake. I mean, he considers all the things. He doesn't want to cause anybody any hiccup. He is so patient and so kind. And I'm in love with him very much. But he's in this moment, and he texts me in the moment. Well, we're down a truck. In my mind, I was thinking, when did we have two? I don't understand. But that was just the first thought. The second thought was, okay, he's got a deadline. He's texting me. He needs something from me. Well, I'm in the office in Anderson. I can't help him, nor do I know what the problem is. He explains in the text, he sent Glenn to the house, Glenn, our son, who works with him. And Glenn's going to go get this diagnostic thing because he's a mechanic too. And he's going to bring it, plug it in. And he's going to figure out what's going on with the truck, hopefully. And then we can get it fixed. That was in process. And in the meantime of that, I call Roger and I say, Roger, you okay? And he said, yeah. His voice was totally calm. Totally calm. And I said, let's pray. So we did. In the meantime, Glenn had come back. And I had gotten off the phone. Roger texted me again, said, this is what's going to happen. We have to order a part so that we can fix this electronic problem, and then it will tell the transmission to do what it's supposed to do. Pretty much that's what he said. Oh, but it's going to cost this much. Okay, not the problem on that day. And then he said, but it's going to be, we have to order it, wait for it. They have to calculate it to the truck. It's going to take time. He's got a deadline. Can you feel the stress mounting? It's like, whew. And deadline pushes other deadlines. Life can be stressful. I don't know if we prayed again at that moment, but I know that I prayed, and I'm sure he did. In the meantime, and this is funny to me, and I hope that you find some humor in it too as I share it, which I hope is okay. Glenn had gone to the bathroom. The mechanic, our son, he's in the bathroom. He comes out of the bathroom and he says, it just occurred to me. And now I want to say, God can speak to you in the bathroom. I believe that now. So Glenn comes out and he says, well, let's just unplug the battery and maybe it'll restart it. You know, it'll, I forget the word to use, but it'll redo it. It'll restart it. It'll reset it. And it did. So the next text I got from Roger was this. Glory, or he said, God is good, ! I said, everything's okay. We went to a restaurant the next day for lunch. And we were with another man who works with Roger who does not attend church. And we're talking about what God had done in the week, all three of us. And he's sitting there listening. And in the middle of it, or at the, it was closer to the end, he comes up with a statement about what God had did that I hadn't thought about, which is hilarious, and you may have already thought about it. I mean, it's just unbelievable that I didn't think about it. And he said, and you didn't break down in the middle of nowhere, not knowing what to do. Because it could have. We drove the truck to Arkansas, a two-day drive, on the way there and on the way back. And so we all praise God again. God is good. He cares about the little things and the big things. So how can we experience what God does for us? Well, let me say, I skipped a part. God guards our hearts and our minds, and he did, because I asked Roger, I said, how did you do? Because I did that check at the end. How did you do? He said, I didn't go crazy. I didn't lose my mind. So, you know, he kind of could have in the middle of the stress of it. I mean, we do have a choice. Hold on to God or let go. Trusting God is another part. Another thing, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, you know. The fruit of the Spirit in there, there's love, there's joy, but then there's peace. It's through him and his fruit. It's when he resides in your life, in you, and you reside in him, and he just works peace out. It just shows up out of nowhere. In the worst of times, you could be having the hardest of things happen, and peace of God will come upon you, come through you, and you will experience the peace of God that passes understanding, that peace that guards your mind and your heart. And you can say, wow, where'd that come from? Oh yeah, praise God. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never does. Shalom is a Hebrew word that is used to describe peace, but it encompasses more than just the absence of conflict. This word signifies a wholeness, a completeness of well-being and harmony with God. Peace is that. Harmony with God. How can we experience the peace of God? You want to know how? I mean, what happened on Tuesday to us, if we hadn't prayed, Glenn may not have had that occur to him, except for under God's grace. And we may have suffered more. But how can you avoid that? We prayed. This, in my notes here, is some things that we can do. There's five things. We can have peace of God by drawing near to God. We did that when we prayed. By reading God's word, you can draw near to God. By trusting in his faithfulness, trusting God in his faithfulness to his word. That's what that means. Casting our cares upon him. I've done that this week. I literally said, Lord, I cast these cares on you. Done it last week. Did it last week. Did it the week before that. I think I do that every week. We have a lot of cares. Cast them on you, Lord, because he cares for us. Number four, making a conscious effort to choose faith over worry. That's what happened to us. We chose to pray rather than worry. Roger made a conscious decision. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to say something I shouldn't say. I can go on with other things. You know, we're just going to have to make a conscious decision and put it into practice before it actually will change it. The practicing of it will bring about the change through the grace of God and by his help. And by cultivating a relationship with God through that praying and studying his word. When we do these things, God, we place God in priority over the circumstances of our lives. The circumstances may seem like mountains, but when we put God in the right perspective, in our eyes, and our focus be on him, that mountain becomes like a molehill, like a vapor. It may still even be there, but the trouble of it just is like, well, thank you, Lord, because I know I'm learning something important right now. Help me pay attention to whatever that is. And help me gain and grow what I need to. Now, Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. And this is in closing. For the word of God is living and active. That word that the Gideons put into the hands of the people around the world. And I hope you do as well. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and the discerning of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:13 says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Verse 14 says, since then we have a great high priest, since we have this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He understands. But one who, in every respect, has been tempted as we are tempted, yet without sin. Verse 16 says, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and mercy, that we may find grace to help in our time of need. The Bible says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, and that he is a very present help in time of need. So we want to remember John 16:33, what Jesus said. I have said these things to you as he prepared the disciples and is preparing us, that in me you may have peace. It's available. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Any problem that you're facing right now, take heart. He's overcome the world. And yes, he pays attention to things you may not think of, like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday when you're struggling with people, or a Monday or a Friday. God is there, or a Saturday or a Sunday in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. It doesn't matter. He wants you to take heart. He will give you peace. He will give you strength. He will supply your need.